Let's turn now in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we're reading this evening verses 1 through 32, the whole chapter. Romans chapter 1. God's people, hear now God's word and give your attention to it. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom all are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Those are God's words. Having finished the book of Acts, which was the book of history in the New Testament from the resurrection to the ascension of Jesus Christ, until Paul gets to Rome, showing how the gospel has gone from Jerusalem and Judea to the ends of the earth, and continues, thankfully, continues to spread today. And now coming to the letter to the church in Rome from Paul the Apostle, the introduction of the letter goes through verse 16, which if you remember from a couple years ago when we were in Romans, that Paul is not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And that is one of the main themes throughout this letter, including what we find in verse 17, the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Not by works, but by faith alone. And so if you're justified in God's sight, then you have believed, you have faith, you trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you hate your sin, and you turn from your sin. And then the end of chapter 1 concludes, beginning to show just how wicked the world is. Just how sinful not only the Jews are, but the Gentiles are, apart from Jesus Christ. But very important for our purposes of evangelism, we can note a few things here in this part of the chapter to memorize for our faith and our life. Verses 18 through 20, the Lord teaches us that God can be known from the creation. In general revelation, God reveals Himself through creation. Everything you can see with your eyes, it declares the glory of God. It reveals that God is real. And so verse 20, that man is without excuse if you don't turn to Him. If man does not turn to the Lord in Christ, they are without excuse. They can't give an excuse why they didn't believe. Because God is declared in His glory in the creation. And so that's the first thing you need to know, that God is revealed in the creation, His glory is. And so man is without excuse. They can find fault only in themselves if they don't believe. Second, we learn what happens when men in their sin turn from God. That God does not hold them back from their evil ways, but hands them over to their evil ways. They want evil, He hands them over. He does that similarly to His covenant people at times. And we see that often. We have seen that often. But we see the Lord does that three times concerning man's idolatry, and also sinful relations leading to homosexuality in this chapter. He does that three times. He hands them over to their desires, the lust of their flesh that they wanted. And the last thing that is important to see for our evangelism in the last verse, but also right before that, the list of sins of the wicked non-believers. Sins, beloved, that you and me commit ourselves. And so you ought to, we ought to all go home after this and even this week and search these sins that are named in verses 29 through 31 and examine whether we have committed these sins recently and to turn from them to God. But the last verse reveals to us that unbelievers have the knowledge of the truth. They have the knowledge of the truth. They have the knowledge of the judgment of God. That those who commit such things deserve the wrath of God. They know this, they suppress that knowledge, and so they keep going in their sin, and then they love it. They have a great pleasure and joy when others commit those sins too. And so they suppress that knowledge, knowing that God pours out His wrath against those sins. And so it is our duty in evangelism, since they have suppressed that knowledge, to bring it to light again, to point out their sin that they have suppressed, and to bring it to the surface and call them to turn to the Maker and the Creator and the Savior, Jesus Christ, for their salvation. Those are some lessons we learn, especially for evangelism in the last half of the chapter there. Very important for us to remember in evangelism. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise. We're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because even as we prayed this morning, even now as we've read it, it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. And so we pray and plead now for those here amongst us today, all the assembly of your people, that we would all believe on Christ for our salvation. That we would believe upon the good news, the gospel, that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead on the third day to grant life to all who believe on Him. And so, Father, grant salvation to your people today, your covenant people, even our children. And Father, we ask that you would even move our covenant children, those who have understanding, those who've heard the gospel so many times, that they would be called to believe, and they would believe. Even those who have gone out from us and played the fool, like the atheist, and said, there is no God. There are many of those, Father. We pray that you would bring to mind your word, because even the word that they have in their hearts that they've suppressed, though they've heard it so many times, we pray that the psalms and the songs they've sung about you, we pray that the catechism, question and answers that they've learned, and above all, that the scriptures that they memorized when they were children, that those scriptures, your word, would plague them and plague them until they can do nothing but fall before your Son Jesus Christ and give up their idolatry and stubbornness and hard-heartedness. And so send your Spirit and grant them salvation in Christ your Son. Father, only you can save them, even our covenant children. Remember your promises, Father, unto the third and fourth generations of those who love you and keep your commandments. To our covenant children, the many promises you've made, even to us who believe, Lord, show mercy and be faithful to your covenant promises. Father, today we do ask that you would cleanse us of our sin. Move us to love you all the more. We see those sins listed at the end of this chapter in Romans 1. We see the children often, and we think of them as we hear disobedient to parents. And often the children here are disobedient to parents. Father, turn them, cause them to see their sin and turn unto you. But Father, we see also these many sins of wickedness and unrighteousness, being backbiters, gossips, and slanderers. Father, we have often lied in our hearts, lied to our spouses, or lied to our neighbors. Father, we have talked behind people's back and been those whisperers. Often been found prideful and boasting in ourselves and in other things in this creation rather than in God alone and Christ your Son. Father, we are no different than those children who are disobedient to their parents. We are disobedient unto you. And Father, we are covenant breakers as we remember those vows we've taken at the baptism of our own self or our children, and even our membership vows we've taken. We have often not been faithful to keep them. And in that way, we are covenant breakers. But Father, we ask that you would show mercy and grant us grace, the grace to turn from our sin unto you, and that you would grant by your Spirit cleansing of our sin, mortification of our sin, that we would put it to death and kill it in Christ your Son, and that we would walk in righteousness, the righteousness of Christ your Son alone. And then, Father, we do pray this evening. We pray for Jenny. We pray for her surgery on Tuesday, that you would give success, that the plaque would be removed from her artery, and that everything, the blood would pump well, and that she would make a full recovery from that. Any fear that she might have, we pray that she would turn unto you, knowing that we ought to turn in prayer with thanksgiving to you, to turn from our anxious hearts to you, the living God. And so grant her that grace to turn unto you And grant her that the anxiety, any that might be there, would be turned away, knowing and trusting that You're the great physician who heals, and You are the God who heals not only soul but body too. And we praise You for this. We pray the same for Phil. We continue to pray for Phil and his great pain he is in. Give him success in his physical therapy and beginning to work, to stand and move around. And I pray that You would grant him less pain, if that be Your will. Father, we ask that You would watch over us as a church, that You would provide elders for us, new elders and new deacons. Father, we ask that You would provide for us financially. We ask that You would protect us from the evil one and any who would come in here and try to attack us, as many churches often are attacked. We pray that You would protect us and surround us with the fortress of not only Your Word, but Your Holy Spirit and King Jesus, who sits on the throne, reigning, ruling, and defending us. And so defend us, even by Your Son, Father. And Father, we do pray for our presbytery. As we have a meeting in a couple weeks, we pray that You would bless us in our meeting, the examinations, that they would go well, and that You would give discernment to the elders. We pray that there would be great celebration for the ordination of a man at the Westminster Church in Colorado, and that You would grant great faithfulness to him and zeal and boldness in preaching the gospel, and also that he would be wise and humble in his shepherding with a shepherd's heart, following after the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask also that You would bless our day of prayer and fasting that has been called by the Synod, that we would look to You, that all our sins we would turn away from, and that we'd see them to be turned away from. And our fasting would be successful in pointing out to us our sin and pointing out to us our great need of You, Jesus, Your Son, and the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, sent from the Father and the Son. That You would uphold us every moment of every day, and that You would preserve Your church and protect us. Father, we pray for this nation. As we heard in the call to worship, all nations will come to praise You. And so, Father, we pray that You would bring that about, and You bring it about at the right time. Even now, as Christ reigns on the throne, King and ruler over all nations and all peoples, as head of the church, we ask that all would come and bow the knee. We pray for our magistrate, our civil rulers and authorities in positions of authority and power. Father, grant them Your Holy Spirit and save them from their sins, and then cause them to covenant with Christ and rule according to His Word, and not man's law or man's methods or ideas, which are often apart from You. All of it is foolishness and wicked. And so, Father, turn them to Yourself for the sake of this nation and for the sake of the many righteous who remain here today. Father, grant us now, as we continue worshiping You, Your Spirit. Pour out Your Spirit. We pray for the church, we pray for the nation, and we pray for ourselves here, that You would pour out Your Holy Spirit and power for the sake of Christ Your Son, that the gospel would go forth and be spread, and many would hear and believe unto salvation, and they would experience the great power of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.